Senate Committee on Finance and Revenue is open. We're going to start with a work session on Senate Bill 500 that we heard a few weeks ago. I will open up a work session on Senate Bill 500. Refresh us, Jamie, if you will, on the summary. And I know there's been some back and forth on the revenue impact on property taxes.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Chair.
We're talking about the Dash 2 amendment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you, Chair Haas, members of the committee. So Senate Bill 500 is a bill that increases property tax exemptions for veterans with disabilities. The Dash 2 increases property tax exemptions for service members with only service-related disabilities. And it modified the property tax exemption amounts for those, and that is for members that have a service-related disability of at least 40% and less than 100%, that the exemption is set at $45,000, and if the service member has a service-related disability of 100%, it sets the property tax exemption at $100,000. So the Dash 2 has a revenue impact per biennium of approximately $17 million in addition to the current program, and that escalates by 3% per year.
You have a chart here. Is this in OLIS, the
yes.
revenue impact?
Yes.
Why don't I see it here? Is this it? Okay, the chart's easier to follow.
Yes, so on the chart, we separate out the impact or revenue loss to local governments at approximately $9.2 million for the next biennium, and that of local education districts. And in the description, I think that I'm not sure if I put it in the description, but there's approximately a $3.3 million shift for property taxes as well.
Explain the shift.
So with property taxes, there's if a property gets exempt and part of the property tax is related to bonds, the levy that's set for the bonds will be collected by other taxpayers in the same district.
Okay. So this will add $16 million in cost to property. This would be a $16 million loss to property taxes statewide.
To local governments statewide.
To local governments, in addition to the how much under current law?
I think the current law sits at, there's approximately $25 million in loss.
So the currently we're helping disabled vets with their property taxes at $25 million, and this will increase that to 40-ish?
Approximately, per biennium.
Okay. Any questions, committee? Okay. Senator Benson.
I can add a little bit to that. There's and the only other contingent is that currently some service members that qualify for the property tax exemption, it ends up being relatively low. Like out of a say $2,000 or $3,000 property tax bill, it ends up helping them out by about $200, and it's more burdensome for them to apply than to accept the property tax exemption. So there is some conjecture that service members that are eligible that don't currently apply may apply for the program, given that the assistance is a little bit more helpful.
Okay. If there are no other questions to staff? I think we're ready for a motion, Senator Benz and the dash twos.
And we, with this amendment?
Yes.
Mr. Chair, I move the dash two amendments to Senate Bill 500 dated 3/4/19.
Senator Benz moves the dash twos to Senate Bill 500. Any discussion? Seeing none, any objections? Seeing none, the dash twos are amended to Senate Bill 500.
Chair, I move Senate Bill 500 to the, as amended, to the floor with due pass recommendation.
Senator Benz moves Senate Bill 500 to the floor of the Oregon State Senate with the due pass recommendation as amended. Is there any discussion? I would just like to say thank you to Senators Olson and Manning for their dogged work on this. I know there's been some angst and going back and forth over the numbers, and to the veterans advocates who have persevered and dogged this, and of course, to our disabled vets and spouses. Obviously, we wish we could do more, but we're moving forward. So with that, the clerk will call the roll.
Senator Boquist?
Yes.
Senator Riley?
Aye.
Senator Taylor?
Aye.
Vice Chair Bounce?
Yes.
Chair Hass?
Hass votes aye. The measure passes to the floor of the Oregon State Senate with a due pass recommendation, and we'll let Senators Olson and Manning carry this bill. Thank you. All right, we will open up a public hearing on Senate Bill 837 on property taxes, and open with a brief description of this legislation.
Okay. So Senate Bill 837 deals with property taxes. Currently, if you your property taxes are set on your assessed value, but if you contest that, if you contest your real market value in, for instance, what is called BOPTA, or the Board of Property Tax Appeals, you can get your real market value set to something more accurate. Say if you purchased your house and it was on the market for a while, significantly below what the real market value is described by the county assessor. If BOPTA determines that your real, by order that your real market value is set at a certain amount, then the current statute allows that, it sets that for 5 years, but gives a variety of conditions under which that might change. So for instance, if you did a remodel to your house, if you subdivided your property, or if there was rezoning. But currently, there's no condition after a BOPTA ruling for which you could get, for which the property value could be adjusted if there was a sale of the same property. So Senate Bill 837 says that if there's a sale of the property within 5 years after that ruling set real market value, it could be adjusted. So it adds sale to the list of conditions that would allow real market value to be changed.
Okay, and I know we have a team from Multnomah County. If you guys would like to come up in the meantime while they're coming up here, Senator Taylor, this is a bill you're sponsoring.
Yes,
you want to say
thank you,
something?
Chair Hass. I apologize for not, had the bill numbers mixed up. And so I just wanted to, this bill came to my attention from Multnomah County, and I think other people on the committee here have signed on to it as well. You did a great job summarizing it. I just wanted to add that, so the property tax owner can contest their property taxes is too high by filing a complaint with the Board of Property Tax Appeals. If they don't like the decision, then they can take it to trial. Once in the adjudication period, which lasts 5 years, property taxes are frozen in time based on the trial outcome, even if the property sells. This bill allows assessors to reassess within the adjudication period upon sale of the property. It is not a mandate, but optional. In commercial property, incorrect values of the tax roll can result in big losses to the county. So I just wanted to get that on the record. Thank you, Chair Hass.
Thank you. Gentlemen, welcome.
Hello. Chair Hass, members of the committee, my name is Jeff Brown. I am the Deputy Assessor, Deputy Director for Multnomah County. And
good afternoon. I'm Mike Vaughn. I'm the County Assessor and Tax Collector.
So we're here to talk to you about Senate Bill 837, very well summarized already. But basically, Senate Bill 837 seeks to amend ORS 309-115, which is otherwise known as the adjudication statute. Now, a property is adjudicated, again, if it were to go before the Board of Property Tax Appeals or the magistrate or regular division of the tax court or even the Oregon Department of Revenue by way of an appeal. What Senate Bill 837 seeks to do is add there's currently in the adjudication statute 8 reasons why a property's real market value can be adjusted, and 837 seeks to add a sale as the 9th. I can explain it a little bit further.
Well, what might be helpful is throwing out a couple of examples.
Sure.
That this would cure.
Chair Haas, thank you. An example might be an adjudicated property at $1 million, let's say, subsequently sells for, in a non-distressed arm's length transaction, for $2 million in that 5-year adjudication period. Well, that sale would indicate that the real market value on the roll is incorrect, but the law has no provision to allow the assessor to appraise the property. So the $1 million value on the roll would persist for the remainder of the adjudication period. And what 837 seeks to do is just to allow the assessor to appraise the property should a sale indicate that the value is incorrect.
I'd like to expand the conversation a little bit with him. Could you go backwards? Okay, so here's my suggestion. Could you cover, I know the two of you are capable of doing this, cover a little bit of description, because you mentioned the Department of Revenue, which is really, the Department of Revenue would be adjudicating because it's a centrally assessed property. What's that category? And then a little description of the Board of Property Tax Appeals. Don't assume everybody here knows this. I can assure you they don't, okay? And then why this would be fourth, why do you want to do this? As example, and I'd like you to fill in the technical details, but basically for the audience and the colleagues here, is that the taxpayer is making an appeal, and they have now convinced either the Department of Revenue, the county assessor, through the Board of Property Tax Appeals, magistrate, or court, that no, it's worth X, and of course then it sells for more, which means it's okay, it really wasn't worth X, and we just want to be able to go back and correct the record to what it should have been in forward. But I don't think, as you point, adjudicate. I know there's confusions because there's another bill that's being held before going to the floor right now that involves you gentlemen that needs to be sort of explained what this is about here. Most people don't know what the Board of Property Tax Appeals is, don't understand that process, and then the next thing that they go to the magistrate court, and then once everybody is either agreed upon, and as you know, you can actually reach a settlement and it still has the power of the adjudication. So if you can maybe cover the process a little bit so that it's better explained why everybody's entered into this discussion voluntarily and now suddenly the mic changes and it should be acceptable to the owners or the new owners or whatever that this is the correct value. Am I making sense, sir? Because
you just explained it.
Right, accept it. They can do it much better.
Chair Haas. Senator Boquist, yes, you are making sense. And so what I'll do, if it's okay, is I'll just maybe walk through a scenario, what might happen if somebody appeals their property tax, or their value, that is. So a homeowner will, or just property owner, will decides they don't like the real market value of their property. The initial step that they take is they go to the Board of Property Tax Appeals, which is the lowest level, and it's the most informal way to appeal your property taxes. It's a board of volunteers that will decide a value, much like any other tribunal. They'll hear both sides of the evidence, and should they decide in the favor of the property owner, that's considered an adjudicated value. Now, either party at that point could contest that value and appeal onward to, as you said, the Oregon Tax Court, and the next step would be the Magistrate Division. Slightly more formal, you're in a courtroom setting. There's court rules and things that don't exist at the Board of Property Tax level. Should it go on from there, it goes to the regular division, which is case law setting, court, real trial type of situation. And again, at any time, should those not be appealed onward, let's say, and the court decides real market value, it's adjudicated. And that adjudicated value is, as pointed out, lasts for 5 years in addition to the year for which the property was adjusted. That's how that works. Hopefully that I explained that for you. Do you have anything?
All except one part. Let me just add, Senator Boquist, the appeals are petitions to the Oregon Department of Revenue. So as you know, the Department of Revenue has supervisory authority over the property tax system, and petitions can be made from any property owner to the department if there are no remaining rights of appeal, right? So it's not just for the centrally assessed, which is, you know, the state's responsibility, but it's also for property owners who missed their window of appealing within the statutory time frame to go to the BOPTA, which is the first step. This affords them the opportunity to petition the department to say, look, there's an error on the roll, square footage of my house is wrong, the value's wrong, you know, that kind of thing. Any of those decisions out of any of those, you know, those forms basically would set what's known as the adjudication, right? It's the adjudication time frame. So whatever date that opinion decision comes out and it stands, it's not appealed on, that then establishes the real market value, quote unquote, for a property. The issue comes in when we get a subsequent sale, which we see quite frequently, especially in Multnomah County, where we see sales that are 2 and 3 times those, which then prohibits us from maintaining the accurate 100% real market value of a property on the tax roll, which is also another statutory requirement for my office. And that's the thing that really creates the trouble is subsequent, after the initial adjudication, next year your value goes down, you could appeal it again. But if it goes up, there's no, so there's inequity there, and we're trying to solve that to say this would help that. He thinks I'm against this. He's pointing at my names on the bill, right? What I'm trying to do is get stuff on the record here, okay? Because I'm actually not against the bill, and I fully agree with what you just said as the assessor, and that is that one of the parts of everybody's party is if we all agreed and it came to the conclusion that it was X and it turned out to be Y later, then everybody needs to agree before we did this that it, the whole thing is about fairness. If it turns out it was wrong, then we need to make fairly correction. But I do want you to just sort of go back as the assessor, because both the administrative rules, the statute leads to this, the administrative rules point this out, and of course the procedural manuals for BOPT and everything else, is there really is a pre-appellate stage of this, and that is that the taxpayer, first off, can go to, is actually encouraged to come to your office and say, hey, we looked at this and we don't think this is right. And generally in most counties, at least 35 that I know of, including yours, you notice I didn't say 36, that comes out and the assessor says, well, this is why we did it. And there's sort of a discussion at the assessor's office to figure out whether there might have been an error or there might be some common ground between everybody and that, you know, maybe there was a mistake made. So there's sort of a pre-appellate division. Of course, that is not part of this bill. It's only once we get to the adjudicated. So I think it just, for convenience, might be helpful for Multnomah County to point out sort of your pre-appellate process. The taxpayer walks in, irate, and you first have to calm them down. That particular step, because I do know your county does that.
Excellent question. Let me just say, out of 350,000 accounts that I maintain values on each year, this year we received 533 petitions to BOPTA. Of those, most of them, about half, get resolved before they even make it to the BOPTA process. So our process is that anytime a petitioner comes to our office that files an actual petition to the board, you know, the formal process to get it established, we reach out. And not just once, but we try to send letters, we send appraisers out to the house, if it's a homeowner, if it's a business owner, we try to communicate with the tax rep, and we try to really get a sense of what issues might there be, because a petition form can only give you so much information. So we try to find out, especially from homeowners who may not be as knowledgeable and versed in all the property tax laws that exist, you know, what are you really after? And oftentimes it's the tax bill. You know, my taxes went up, we want to know why. So a lot of cases are just taking the time to explain why your taxes went up 10, 15, 20% when my realtor told me it can only go up 3%. You know, we get a lot of that. So then basically it's an educational, informal discussion process. And a great example is a call I had this morning with a taxpayer who bought a $300,000 house, and their taxes went up 15% 2 years. And I said, well, you're only paying taxes on the MAV, which is $154,000. And that sort of resolved the issue in their mind. They were kind of getting it. So a lot of it's education. But in cases where a homeowner says, look, I paid $300,000 for it, you have it listed at, you know, on your roll for $450,000, we want to get those resolved right away. And we want to admit that this is a mass appraisal process. I have 350,000 accounts I'm trying to maintain values on. I'm trying to get it right. So you've raised a very good point, and I appreciate it, and we correct that. I think if you look at the number of appeals that actually make it to the higher courts, we're talking into the 10 to 20 range. So out of five last year, we had about 700 petitions. You know, you're talking about a very, very minor percentage. Actually, we get into a confrontational. But after a certain time of the year, so December 31st, my ability to just change the value becomes non-existent, short of an order from the BOPTA board or the tax court or the Oregon Department of Revenue. So that's where sometimes we have to go down this process, and we may even at the board hearing stipulate to a reduction in value or stipulate to a different thing. So that happens quite frequently. That's the usual course, and I would say that's the majority of our cases, again, because very few actually make it on to appeal to a higher court.
Just one follow-up. Just for clarity, and again, I'm on the bill and I'm fine with it, okay? But I just want to make clarity, because you did raise a point that I had forgotten about, because I'm polishing up, okay? And I will have to declare conflict if you move this, by the way. Having said that, though, if you reach a stipulated agreement beforehand, basically, as you pointed out, you could actually work with the taxpayer beforehand, but it has to be confirmed in a stipulated agreement by the BOPTA board. So many of these cases, I'm assuming you even go to the board itself, and you figured out in the between December 31st and going to the board, which I think begins now or in the next couple of days, right?
Currently active. The window.
Yes. Right.
Yes. The end of
February. Okay, so... at that point, if you've come to what you think you've come to agreement, that of course is stipulated by the BOPTA board, and it would become adjudicated, correct? So therefore, it would fall into the same category. Is that your intent?
Correct.
Okay.
I might add, a stipulated value prior to the board convening is not adjudicated, but you're correct. After the board, right?
Let me follow up though. But the way the law is as the assessor said, you guys can argue outside the room, I guess. Is that at December 31st, you can't reach those agreements under the law anymore. Anything you reach from January 1st until the BOPTA board in that window, if I were correct, has to go to the BOPTA board to be approved by the BOPTA board, which then it would become adjudicated. Correct? Are we saying the same thing?
Same thing.
Correct. Credit. Thanks.
Senator Benz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, a couple of questions. The first, in a normal sale without any of this history, does the sale trigger the new appraisal? Do you immediately start using the new sale value? House, you know, $1 million house on your records, all of a sudden it sells for two. What happens?
Chair Haas, Senator Benz, no, it's not necessarily a reset, because the property sells for $1 million doesn't mean that we reset it at $1 million. What it does mean is we'll send an appraiser out to the property to verify the inventory, speak with the new owner, make sure that everything's correct, you know, the condition, the class, everything of the property is correct. And then it's, you know, entered into the mass appraisal system, and hopefully all things, you know, being equal, the value will be somewhere around that sale price, should it have transpired right around the January 1st date.
Follow up, Mr. Chair. Follow up. Right. Okay. So assume any date. I'm seeking the triggering event. If a property sells, is there going to be a change in its assessed value? Does that trigger anything, or is it just the luck of the draw? That's what I'm trying to get at.
You can want to take it?
Chair, Senator Benz,
the bad luck of the draw. Yeah.
The sale would trigger us to take a closer look. right? Because a property, I mean, if it had been adjudicated, let's say, for 2 years, it could have been renovated. It could have been, you know, developed. It could, there could have been things that could have happened that we would not have been aware of. The sale would, if especially if the sale price were in your scenario, $1 million or $2 million, yet we had $1 million value on it, that in general would raise a red flag for my office. It would be something where we'd want to take a closer look at the sale, try to figure out what's good, look at the listing, look at the property, and it could very well trigger that that is the best indicator of real market value, and the new value would, if this bill were to pass, would be $2 million. Now, this is just the real market value.
Okay, follow up, Mr. Chair. My hypothetical is that we don't have this history. That my hypothetical is we do not have an appeal and a judicial. This is just everyday normal. The people who own the house for 15 years, they haven't appealed anything. On your records, it's worth $1 million. One day they sell it for $2 million. What happens? No history that this bill would apply to.
Chair, Senator Bentz, the same. We would take a closer look at it. If our value on the roll was $1 million and it sold for two, that would be a reason enough to kind of take a look at that sale. We do that now. We look at sales that occur throughout the county, and especially those that have indicated significant disparity between the value on the roll, the RMV, and the sale price. And that's just a standard procedure.
That's what I was trying to get at. Now, follow up, Mr. Chair. Okay, so now we go to this situation, and the value is $1 million. The value, you guys value it as something. It goes to BOPTA. It's adjudicated at $1 million. 2 years later, it sells for two. Now, under your normal course, we just discussed, the sale is going to trigger a review. You see, though, oh, my goodness, there's a five-year window here where we can't touch it. And so am I still on the right track? The review was triggered by virtue of this the sale 2 years into the 5 years. Is that correct?
Correct, Senator.
Okay. Now, then the question becomes, who owns this number? Does it run with the property, or does it run with the person who appealed it? And that's what I'm trying to get at. And this question seems unclear. I've gotten two different answers from the people I've talked to.
Chair, Senator Bentz, property is what is taxed. So the property would retain the value. So the new buyer then would retain the responsibility of any new real market value that's on the roll.
But the follow up, Mr. Chair. But the of course the law doesn't say that, so that's why you're here, to get it changed to say that. The law says apparently that you can't change it. It's not one of the listed items that allows you to go in and reappraise the property or reassess the property.
Chair Hass, Senator Bentz, there is a conflict in my opinion. So we have a statute that requires all property to be valued at 100% of real market value. We have in this current statute a limitation on achieving that, especially when we have a sale price subsequent to an adjudication that would indicate potentially that we're not maintaining that 100% of real market value standard. So we're seeking to remedy that by adding the ninth provision that would allow all assessors the opportunity to then achieve that 100% of real market value standard that's in law.
And one final follow-up, Mr. Chair. Apparently, whoever put the 5 years in was trying to preclude, I'm guessing, retaliatory measures by an angry assessor who maybe was not happy with the adjudication, and they come back repeatedly. So there must have been some thought, we're going to give whoever it was that we reached some sort of an agreement at least 5 years to enjoy that value. Is that why we have this five-year window, to your best guess, or is there some other reason?
Senator, I have no idea.
Thank you.
No, I mean,
your work is done here.
Well, I don't know that my work is done here. I mean, I would just speculate. I mean, obviously, whatever, because somebody did this before anybody here, I would just, Senator Bentz's concept, it's like you go before the judge, you don't want to keep going before the judge every year. And so the whole purpose was this is going forward. And the purpose, as I say, I'm going before a BOCTA here, just that's why I got a clear conflict of interest. Trying to get the real market value straight doesn't change my taxes at all, but that's exactly the point.
That's
you
right.
go in firsthand and you get this adjudicated, you don't want the assessor taking a retribution and making you go back the next year and go to BOPTA into the tax court and the next year and the next year and the next year. But then I see this, Mr. Chair, as, okay, you go to there, everybody, the judge looked at this, or in many cases, as has been pointed out here, I don't know how many counties actually do adjudicated settlements or settlements at the BOPTA, and everybody kind of goes away sort of happy, and then it turns out that somebody went out and bought the thing for twice the value. So it was worth twice as much as what everybody thought it was. And that's just, in my mind, part of the fairness of the system of going in and doing it. As long as there's a restriction that you don't face retribution. And, you know, my experience in 35 of 36 counties is that, you know, the assessors do exactly like Multnomah County does. And when they try to resolve these issues, they go through it. They're just our outliers, just like they're outliers everywhere else. So, but I think guessing that's where the five-year thing came from, because it is mind-boggling to go through this process.
Chair,
and I'm experienced at it.
If I might add one more thing, Chair, is that this change wouldn't take away that ability, Senator Bentz. I think that those protections would still be in place. We're only talking about that when a property subsequently sells that indicates potentially there's an error with the real market value would only be the trigger. So the protections would still be in place for any, like you said, retributions from an assessor. And anyway, that's I think that's still kind of is something that would be in place.
Okay. Good discussion, Senator Taylor. All right, we will bring this back. Thank you both for helping us with this.
Thank you.
We'll close the public hearing on Senate Bill 837. Anything else, committee? I see nothing else on our agenda. So we will adjourn.